following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, I want to ask you to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. Get your Bible open there? Are you ahead of me? You're in Hebrews chapter 13. The other day, my grandson, Jack, he did it again. He got some stitches. He fell out of bed. How old is Jack? Is he 4.5 now, Joy? It's 4.5 or 5? 4.5. And he rolled out of bed, and he sliced open his brow and right by his eye there. And so he's got some stitches. And I went over just to sort of hang out with him for a few minutes before I went home. And I'm sitting there, you know, after talking to him, I hang out with Abby and Taylor. And I don't know what brought this up, but Abby was talking to me about what I do here. And she said, yeah, that's when you get up and you do blah, 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 blah. Isn't that right? So this is the blah, blah, blah moment of the morning. And last week we started this series, and I called it Jesus at Home. And last week we focused on mom, and we talked about how mom is, as Psalm 128 says, she'll be like a fruitful vine at the heart of your home. And mom has so much to do with developing that heart of the home and helping to establish the culture of the kingdom right there in our homes. Well, mom might be in charge of that, and that might be a huge part of her assignment, but you know that it's still Jesus that is the center, amen? It's still Jesus that is the core, and without Jesus at the center, let me just tell you very, very frankly and honestly, life does not make sense without Jesus. Life doesn't work without Jesus, without Him right there at the core. And so today, I want to talk about Jesus being at the core and what ought to be rising if He's at the core. There needs to be praise. Let praise arise if He's with us. Now, before we read from Hebrews, I want you to see this verse. We went over this probably 2-3 months ago. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. I like the way that when Paul is talking to a church that really doesn't have any big apparent problems. What do you say to a church? How do you exhort a church that's basically doing things well? And he says this to them. He said, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Every time I read that verse, I remember, and this goes back way, way back to the beginning of Joy's and my marriage, probably back 40, 41 years ago. But I remember somebody sharing that verse from a different translation that reads like this. This is the Amplified Bible, and it reads like this in Ephesians 3:17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. There was another translation, very, very similar, that said, may Christ just settle down and be at home in your heart. And whenever I would hear that verse or read it, I would always think, yes, Jesus, you're welcome in my home. You're the welcome guest in the Welsh household. You're the welcome guest in my heart. You know what's wrong with that picture? It's completely backwards. He's not the guest in my home. I'm the guest in His home. This is His. My body belongs to Him. The Welsh household is His house. This is His house. There's only one big name at Refuge. You want to guess what name that might be? It's Jesus. It will always be the only big name in this household. I have no desire for the name Bill Welsh to be a big name. Jesus is the only big name that I'm interested in exalting. How do you feel about that? It's only His name, and may His name always be the exalted one. But if Jesus is in the home, and it's His home, and at the center and the very core of our homes, that just might call for a certain kind of a response from us. I mean, if He really is the Lord, it seems to me that then from every corner, and specifically from every attentive heart that's really watching what God is doing, praise should be rising. Anybody agree with that? There should be some kind of a response, I mean, day in and day out, that's, God, you're good. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, like we sang, you're welcome here. Do what you want to do in us. Have your way, Lord, as a family. Lord, do what you want to do in us. So in Hebrews chapter 13, I want to ask you if you would, go ahead and stand with me before we settle down and get into this let praise arise this morning. But in verse 8, how many of you have ever visited a Foursquare church? Just let me see the hands. I know some of you grew up in Foursquare church. And in every Foursquare church I have ever been in, somewhere up in the front is Hebrews 13, verse 8. In fact, the other day when I was looking at our wedding photo, and it's a picture of Joy and I, and we're walking down the aisle, you know, we're walking out to go into our life together. We're smiling because we don't really know what's coming at us, you know, as we charge into life, and we're thrilled with one another. We're still smiling, by the way. But look, right behind us in that photo was that banner that said Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
Let's read that out loud together. Verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me read to you from verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it's good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been accompanied or occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the camp. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Now let's read verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Father God, thank you for what you've done to give us life. And Lord, may you hear from us the continual sacrifice of praise. Lord, may we set the environment, the culture of this house and our homes, Lord, and our lives around the praise of the one who deserves it because of all that you've done for us, Lord. May that sacrifice continually rise as we give thanks to your name. Teach us from your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a seat, please. Continual sacrifice. Let me explain the somewhat confusing part in the middle of that passage that we read. Maybe it's not confusing to you. But he went directly from Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he jumps into this section that's all about sacrifice. Talked about the blood of those animals that was brought. It was burnt outside the camp. And then it quickly says Jesus was taken outside the camp. How many of you would agree with me that when Jesus went outside the camp, he got burned? Jesus got burnt. He got accused of stuff that he didn't do. I'd call that being burned. We used to use that phrase all the time. But he got burnt willingly for me. And he was sacrificed for me outside the camp. This Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let's follow that example. Let's not be afraid to suffer. Let's walk forward with him. Because, and I love this. He says, because this is not our home. Daniel's home now. Joshua is home now. This is not our home. We look for a city that has builder and maker who is God. This is not our eternal home. Anybody just the least bit grateful for that this is not where we'll spend eternity? God is something way better than a broken world for us, but a perfect world. He said, so we're heading home one day, and so I love the way that this section at least, he ends by saying, so why don't we praise God? Therefore, let us continually, I know this sounds like kindergarten, but class, everybody say continually.
Continually.
Let's continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Well, what is that? He explains. It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Let's give him a sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise. Very different from the sacrifice that the Jews would bring, you know, day after day and week after week and year after year. They would go to their flock and they would grab a lamb, or they'd go to the herd and they'd grab a, you know, one of their cattle and they'd bring that. They'd bring a goat, they'd bring a turtle dove, they'd go to the market and they'd buy a little bird, and the little bird would die for them. Every one of those died. Are you thankful today? How many of you got a dog at home that you love? Aren't you glad you don't have to go home and get Spot and then bring him to the church and we'll offer him on a sacrificial altar out here in the courtyard? That's what it was. Okay, let's talk about cats. That's a whole different story. But did any of you see that video this week of the watch cat? The guard cat, man, may that cat live forever. May that cat never die. May his tribe increase. That bold, courageous cat that saved that little boy's life. But you don't have to bring your parakeet. You don't have to bring your kitty or your doggy, your puppy. But you do have to bring a sacrifice. And the sacrifice you're invited to bring is a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But then he says, and also, here's another sacrifice. Do good for people. He said, let your life be full of good works, because with sacrifice like that, why is it a sacrifice? Well, because it takes your time. You sacrifice time for something else to do something for someone else in the name of Jesus. And you sacrifice some of your money that you would have put someplace else to bless some poor person. He said, God loves that kind of sacrifice. So lift the sacrifice of praise. And I love the way he says it, nonstop, continually. Let's offer the sacrifice of praise. Let praise arise. I want you with me just to sort of track through Jesus' life. When Jesus begins his physical life, where did he start his physical life? Somebody shout it out. No. In Mary's womb. Life started in the womb there. And what happens as soon as Mary receives Jesus in that sense? She says yes to God. And she becomes pregnant with the Son of God. It's on record what she does. She sings a song. This girl was good. She was a singer-songwriter. She wrote a beautiful song. We call it Mary's Magnificat. And she just erupts with praise to God. She calls God her Savior. And then, next thing she does on record, she says, I got to go see Elizabeth. I got to go down to Judea and see Elizabeth, my aunt or whatever relative she was, because she's in on this whole miracle. She's carrying a miracle baby too. When Mary gets to Elizabeth's house, what happens? Elizabeth erupts in praise. It's her Magnificat. She begins to give praise to God. And not only her, but John the Baptist. What does John the Baptist do when Jesus steps into the house neonatal inside Mary's womb? What does John the Baptist do? He's leaping. This boy's a Pentecostal baby. Before he ever is born, he's turning flip-flops in the womb, and he's praising Jesus as much as he can, even before he's born. What happens when Jesus is born? Angels are singing on the hillsides. Glory to God in the highest over Jesus. And what do the shepherds do? They run to the place where they find Jesus, and they bow down and they worship him. I think it's a couple years later in the story when the Magi arrive. And what do they say when they come into Jerusalem? We have come to worship him. There's praise all over in the life of Jesus. By the way, I missed a couple. When Jesus is a week old, they take him into the temple to be dedicated. What happens in the temple? Couple of old folks, an old man and an old woman, they just erupt in praise to God. They say, give me that baby, and they embrace the Son of God. Then look at Jesus all through his life, his ministry life. People are on their face before him. Even a demon-possessed man, I don't know if you would call this worship, but this demon-possessed man on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee comes running to him, throws himself down before him. That's a position of worship. What he says is a little confusing, but there's something in the heart of that man that wants to be free. Jesus sets him free. You see other people on their face. You see women just weeping over his feet, washing his feet with their tears, or pouring oil over his head and blessing him and thanking him and worshiping him. You see him on the day of his crucifixion, there's a criminal, there's a crook that's sacrificed or condemned right beside Jesus, and he looks across. And he says, Lord, remember me. The guy at the foot of the cross that was in charge of the whole affair, he looks up and he says, that's the Son of God. There's a recognition of who he was, and there's praise. And then when Jesus is risen from the dead, what happens? It says his disciples, they worshiped him. What's going to happen when we get to heaven? Where are we going to be? At least for a time, on our face before him, casting our crowns before him. And we know the lyrics of some of the songs that we'll be singing. What are they? Holy, holy, holy. And there's another one. Glory, glory, glory. I mean, the praise never stops. Or at least it should never stop. Throughout Jesus' life, those who recognized who he was, they gave the appropriate response. And it was the fruit of their lips giving thanks to his name. In other words, Jesus should be surrounded by the grateful. And maybe this is where it gets a little bit convicting this morning. The grateful. Are we grateful enough to express our gratitude to Him? I really believe that grateful attitude somehow needs to erupt out of us. It needs to come out of us quickly, not automated. I'll talk about that in a second. But in a genuine way, it needs to erupt from our souls when God says something to us in His Word that changes our attitude and changes our heart and our perspective. When the right words sink into our hearts, it should be, "Thank you, God, for that." When somehow we wake up every day and we realize, okay, I'm not home yet, but here I am with you, God, and I give you thanks for another day of breath and air and food and water and family and friends and a church to walk this out with. There should be just something constant about that. That I know it's cliche, but the attitude of gratitude. I mean, it needs to be a part of the culture of our home if Jesus is in our home, if Jesus has settled down and made this his home, if He's in us. When Dan and I and Steve were flying back from Israel, it happened that Dan and I were in the same row, both of those flights, and Steve was up in first class. I don't know how that happened. No, he wasn't, but he was in another part of the plane, But Dan and I sat next to each other on one flight. Then when we got to Newark and we're loading up on the plane to head to Los Angeles, there was, it seemed like 150 young people. Turned out it was a bunch of junior high kids, grade 8 and 9. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a crazy flight. But that many junior high kids, and a little bit of flirting was going on among the group. They'd been in D.C. and New York and Ground Zero for 5 or 6 days. Tell you what, to begin with, they were the most well-mannered group of kids that I'd ever seen in my life. But when we got on the plane, Dan was by the window and I was on the aisle. We had a seat between us. And I guess a young lady had her seat assigned right between us. And that got changed because before we took off, this young man was escorted up and he said, okay, we're going to trade seats here. And I said something like, oh, a little seat swapping going on here. And the young man's name was Pierce. He said, yeah, taking one for the team. I'm not sure what that really meant about taking one for the team, because that usually means, yeah, I'll lay down and die. I'll take the bad seat between the two old guys. And so the little girl, she went to the back, and Pierce sat down between us, and immediately Dan and Pierce started talking about sports, about where they'd been. They started exchanging, talking about names of players. I didn't know these guys. They had the right conversation going between them and stats and what was happening next. Turned out, we found out before long that obviously Pierce was a Christian who really loved the Lord. His hero was Tim Tebow, and primarily because he loved the stand that he took in his faith for Jesus Christ. And it was interesting to listen to Dan and Pierce talking back and forth. Pierce was articulate. He was in, not that Dan wasn't, he was too, but Pierce was articulate and intelligent. He knew what he was talking about, loved sports and loved the Lord. He was devout. But the thing that really struck me, and it happened about 5 or 6 times through the flight, he was so grateful. Whenever a stewardess would come by, you know, with a drink, a Coke, or I think they called that stuff food that they gave us to eat, but whenever they would bring, he would eye contact with her, and he would say, not just, hey, thanks, it was, thank you so much. I mean, I don't know too many 8th or 9th graders that are that articulate in their gratitude. And I thought, Lord, there's so many times where I'm more thankful to the barista than I am to you. I'm more thankful to the guy that allows me to cut in as I'm pulling out of the gas station than I am to you. More immediately thankful. I think that gratitude from our hearts, it needs to be something that rises from us quickly. If Jesus is in the house, let me say it again. It won't be the last time. Let praise arise. Let it arise continually. If you've got your Bible, open it up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at just a couple of verses there that you know very, very well. You need to just back up a little bit from Hebrews. Just a few little letters, and you'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 15. Most people wouldn't put this together, but I wonder if there's not a connection between verse 15 and 16. Listen to this. Everybody got it? I'd love to listen to those Bible pages fluttering. It's a preacher's dream, I'm telling you. Verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Pursue what's good. And then he jumps immediately into this. This is good. It's good for you. It's good for everybody. Rejoice. What's it say? Always. Always rejoice. Next one, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. What's another way of saying without ceasing? Always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Verse 18. In everything give thanks. What's another way of saying in everything? Always give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I am convinced that verse 19 is connected. Because he says, don't quench the Spirit in your life by being a grumbler instead of a praiser. In everything give thanks. Rejoice always. Pray always. Always give thanks. Don't quench the Spirit. Keep your eyes open and your heart aware of what God is doing. And make sure that praise arises from your heart all the time. It's not the only place in Scripture where this is brought up. I was at a men's breakfast yesterday down in Irvine. It's called the Iron Man Breakfast. Why in the world I was asked to speak at an Iron Man breakfast? I don't know, but I don't picture myself like Iron Man material. But at the end of the time, there was a little bit of worship led by a brother by the name of Fernando, who's from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Great, great brother. And very grateful soul. He had a stroke. He's 50 years old today. Had a stroke in January, and the recovery's been amazing. And he's doing really well. But at the end of it, he shared this verse. And I'd heard it before. I didn't remember it. I didn't remember where it was. How many of you think that I know where every Bible verse is and I memorized the whole Bible? I haven't. Let me step down off that pedestal right away. So I went to him, and I said, where is that found? And he told me it was Psalm 119, 164. Read this with me. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Read that top line again. Seven times a day I praise you. That's a good start. Seven times a day. Now, I don't know if the songwriter is saying, I'm going to put it on my schedule at seven times a day. When I wake up, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, when I go to bed, and maybe on my way to work and on my way home from work. I don't think that's the point. Seven is a number of completion, and he's just saying, I'm not going to stop praising you, God. You're going to hear from me all day long. You'll hear from me. I'll lift my voice in my praise to you, and it will be all day long, seven times a day. That's a good start. And you've probably had more than seven reasons today to just say, God, thank you. God, just thank you for what you do and for who you are, that you never stop being who you are. And let me just say this, that if God is doing something good, then the response needs to be praise, giving of thanks. Is God doing something good here? I believe that he is. Is life happening here? All the time. People are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's cause for praise. Let the praise arise. It struck me again. Maybe it's just the thing that happens with preachers. When you get on a theme, you start seeing this everywhere. You start seeing the theme and the topic everywhere you look. Yesterday, we were at the beach. It was a crazy day. I had five different costumes on during the day at different places. And one of the next to the last stop was down at the beach for the wrap-up of HB 242, which is named after Acts 2:42. Would you turn there? And look at this with me, please. The end of Acts chapter 2. And what they'd been doing down at the beach all through the month of May is an outreach and serving some food and preaching the word and some live worship and music and people coming to Jesus and getting baptized down in the at the beach there. And what I did yesterday afternoon to wrap the whole thing up is we just looked over this passage, the end of chapter 2. That they'd been highlighting for about 4 or 5 weeks. And it talks about what happened after Peter preached the gospel. I love the first thing that it says there in verse 40. You know, Peter's been preaching for a while, and then it says, and with many other words. See, I'm not the only one that uses many other words. But with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, get saved. Get out of this wicked generation. Get saved. Repent, turn from your sins, and come and receive the gift of salvation. And then verse 41 says, lots of people got baptized. 3,000 people were added to the church. They continued in the study of God's word in verse 42, fellowshipping with one another, breaking of bread and prayers. By the way, the breaking of bread was sharing their meals and having communion together. And you see, they were building a culture and a community. It's the kind of community everybody I know wants to be a part of. Everyone wants to be a part of something big. Something bigger than themselves. They want to do life together with people in an environment where they're safe, where there's someone to hold them up in prayer, help them bear their burdens and carry their sorrows, where someone will pray for them, sit down at a table and eat together, celebrate what Jesus has done, learn the way to live together and to accomplish something great in the Lord. And it says, verse 44, now all that believed were together, they had everything in common. They even sold their possessions, divided it among them as anyone had need. And verse 46, they kept doing this daily. They met at the temple. Then they met in your house, then they met in my house. He said, from house to house, they gathered anywhere they could. They sat in circles like this and faced one another. And the Lord continued to add daily to the church. Look at verse 47. They did this, taking their food with gladness of heart, it says in simplicity in verse 47, and praising God. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Here's what I'm convinced God did. When he saw a family like that, that as they faced one another and they did life together, and they held each other up, and they bore one another's burdens, and they praised Jesus without shame, I think God was saying, I can send a lot of people to a place like that. I know 1,000 people that need a family like that. I know people all over this city with broken lives that need to know there's a circle of people where they're safe and they can grow and discover what it means to be the people of God. I think God's looking all over the place in every community for those kind of places where he can send people just like you and I into a family where we're safe, where Jesus is king and Jesus is the only big name. Amen. I believe he's ready to do that. And from every corner of the house, praise needs to rise, heartfelt praise. It comes from the soul, thoughtful and intelligent praise, where we're aware and awake. We know what God has done. We know what he has said. Praise, it's genuine and sincere, and it's passionate without getting dangerous, okay? I mean, it's passionate. It's all in with my voice and my heart and my mind and even my emotions. But we don't want anybody to get hurt, okay? It's like passionate without being fanatic about it. I have a very good friend, Bruce Sonnenberg, who went away to Bible college in Texas years and years and years ago at a place you don't know anything about. I'm not going to name the place, but he went away to Bible college, and while he was there, every morning they had worship time, and it was extremely Pentecostal. And there was close quarters, and one day he almost got knocked out as somebody just flailed, and in their praise, they punched him in the face. And we don't want anybody hurt in the name of Jesus here, okay? But our praise, oh my goodness, it needs to be passionate. The hall of the heart in when we sing these beautiful songs of gratitude to God, that our heart would accompany it with passion and with a quick response too. I believe that throughout the day when you recognize there's something that you're thankful for and something that God's done, why not quickly just say, God, thank you. It's not, like I said, it's not automated, it's not mechanical. Praise the Lord, Polly went a cracker, praise the Lord, God, you're good. But deeply from the heart, articulated in a way that only you can, as you put definition to all that he's done. I mean, what are the sounds of your house like right now? Is it more grumbling than it is gratefulness? What kind of media do you let to invade your house, your car, your mind? What kind of music do you invite in and dwell upon? I love all kinds of music, but I don't like junk music. And junk music to me has nothing to do with how loud it is. It's the message behind it. I want words that are going to build me up and remind me of the beautiful stuff of life and the goodness of God. What kind of praises rise from your hearts and your home? What do you have rolling in your CD player or on your iPad? Your iPod, what are you listening to? Oh, well, I got all of Jeremy Camp's CDs. They're all loaded up, and that's how I do it. Hey, that's a good start. That's a good start. But don't let either Jeremy Camp or Phil Wickham or Shannon Quintana or Zach Blankshane do all of your praising for you. When you hear something on that radio, you hear something on that CD player, you hear something coming from those speakers that your heart agrees with, jump in and praise God with all of your heart. And can I suggest this? Turn it all off sometime and lift your own song. How many of you do that? How many of you sing songs to Jesus that nobody else will ever hear? That's beautiful. Those are love songs. Those are intimate love songs. May that praise arise. Let your praise arise, lots of it, 7 times a day. Fill the house, your house, this house, with praise as you build this culture of gratitude and worship and an environment of praise. May he really, truly settle down and be at home. Make his home in you and in us together. In fact, what I want to do right now is I want us to end that way together today. There's going to be a couple of screens. You don't have to turn around and face that way. It's going to be there. It will be that way as well. But I want to lead you in just a couple of songs before we step out of here today. And I want us to let praise arise in this house. Are you ready for that? You ready? Let's open our hearts to him. Oh, Jesus, we bring our hearts to you, Lord. God, we have cause for praise today. Because you're good, Lord. You're good to us. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. Right now, if there's anybody in here that has not made that first prayer of praise to God, where you've said, Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross, you need to do that right this moment. It doesn't need to be any more intellectually worded than that, where you just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and thank you for dying for me on the cross. And you invite him to take ownership of you and your life. Invite him in right now. It's all about you, Jesus. All this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways. Jesus, lover of my soul, all-consuming fire is in your gaze. Jesus, I want you to know I will follow you all my days. 'Cause no one else in history is like you. History itself belongs to you. Alpha and Omega, you have loved me, and I will share eternity with you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. 'Cause you alone are God, and I surrender. You alone. 'Cause you alone are God, and I surrender. Once again, say it to him and mean it. You alone are God, I surrender to your ways. Oh, Lord, it's so beautiful to hear the voices of your people coming from every corner. Lord, we look to the day when we'll gather around your throne, Lord, and those from every nation
will join their voices together with ours, and we'll sing hallelujah to you and holy, holy to you, Lord, as you deserve it. Oh, God, praise you, Lord. Lift the burdens of your people, Lord. Heal the broken hearts of your people, Lord. Receive our praise, Father, for the wonderful things that you've done and for who you are. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I'll walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. This part of the song is the hardest to sing, especially when you've lost somebody that you've loved. But still to be able to look up into the eyes of God and say, God, you're still good. Let's sing it to him. You give and take away, although you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, although you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let's give God an ovation. Let's thank him. God, you're good.
So good to us. So good to us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Would you stand up and let me bless you? I pray that there'll be such a blessing upon your heart and your home this week that it will erupt in praise more than 7 times a day, that God will hear you break your silence, and your heart will be raised to Him in praise over the things that matter, His goodness and His word and His truth. And may God bless you and keep you, empower you, and inspire you to make such a difference out there as we flood this city with His praise. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.